She had come to Oxick's law firm 15 years earlier, following the Yuuzhan Vong's success in turning Belderone's native population against the displaced Ferrerios it had once welcomed, and had instantly become an invaluable asset. Her innate powers of intuition were unmatched, and often her mere presence in a courtroom was enough to sway a jury. Aware of the peculiarities of the Ferrerian culture, Oxick had never asked to know her real name, and Coy had never volunteered it, though he believed she trusted he would never have made use of the knowledge to secure her allegiance.
"Standing room only," she said, taking in the room.
"More and more with every auction," Oxick sighed. "We have Chief of State Darla to thank for it. Her leadership of the GA has resulted in a resurgence of interest in late Republicana and early Imperial artifacts. As a speculator, one can't go wrong, but the serious collector suffers for it."
"Then I have news that may cheer you up," she said softly. "Your investment is on the move."
Oxick tensed in excitement, but managed to keep his voice conspiratorial.
"Where is he?"
"Headed to Narshada, on the new legs you paid for, and using Core Life's indemnity payments."
"His memory has returned?"
"Presumably, since he didn't bother to check out of Aurora or wait for an official discharge. Sompa followed instructions and allowed him to pay a midnight visit to his office. He managed to deactivate surveillance using a code we think he picked up from Real Bizant."
"A psychotherapist?"
"During a session in her office, she briefly turned off the cams, either in the interest of earning Jadak's trust or to provide him with the code in the belief he would take matters into his own hands. He has a way, in any case."
Oxick inclined his head in interest.
"Don't tell me."
"He wanted to show me around Aurora."
"Why did you decline?"
"He was already suspicious about the insurance policy. I decided there might be some benefit to keeping him agitated. By the time I left, he was ready to bite my head off."
"Your insight appears to have served us well."
"He didn't bother checking Sumpa's office for redundant cams. Or maybe at that point he didn't care about being watched. He used Sumpa's computer to execute a number of searches and requests, and discovered a Narshada Holonet reference to the collision."
"Clever. But why would he opt to go to Narshada? Surely Palpatine's opponents wouldn't have cached the treasure there."
Quire shrugged.
"It could be that he's looking for additional information regarding the death of his co-pilot, Rhys."
Oxick shook his head.
"Jadak wouldn't need to go all the way to Narshada for that."
"Then perhaps he's hoping to pick up his life where it left off."
Oxick considered it.
"I suggest we collect him."
"So soon?"
"I don't want to risk involving others in this matter."
"There's always a chance of that."
"Direct Sinner to attend to it."
Quire frowned.
"Are you certain he's the one for this? My inclination would be to use someone more judicious. Goman, perhaps."
"He is safeguarding our star witness for the trade case."
"The Kolikoid? What did Goman do to warrant that assignment?"
"It's simply a matter of his having a high tolerance for bugs."
Quire nodded.
"I'll let Sinner know."
Oxick reclined in his seat. The next round of bidding was about to begin. It was soon after he and Chewbacca returned from the corporate sector and began running spice for Jabba the Hutt that the Millennium Falcon started behaving erratically. One moment, the ship would outperform herself and complete the Kessel run in record time. The next, she would develop glitches in the worst possible situations, almost as if she were intent on drawing Imperial attention or involving him and Chewie in the rebellion. He wondered if the Falcon's unpredictability owed to the fact that, part by necessity, part by design, he had transformed the one-time freighter into a well-armed warship. The lost barrels of glitterstim spice that had earned them the enmity of Jabba wasn't the first cargo they had been forced to jettison in those days leading to the trip to Tatooine. For a time, it appeared that Imperial tariff vessels were lurking on the dark side of every planet they passed or approached. It got so they had had to affix trackers to the loads before a run, just to ensure being able to recover them after dumping them and submitting to a search. But he always thought the Falcon had seemed peeved at having to partake in those missions. Even the return to the Death Star after leaving Yavin 4 had seemed as much the Falcon's idea as Chewbacca's. Of course, it was sheer lunacy to think that a ship could think for herself, or know right from wrong, even when equipped with a trio of droid brains that rarely agreed on anything. But the Falcon could be willful in that way, stubborn about going where he pointed her. And look what the about-face had led to. Aside from saving Luke's hide and thus being indirectly responsible for the destruction of the Emperor's superweapon, the Falcon had effectively enrolled him and Chewie in the Rebel Alliance. But the Falcon had saved her finest act for later in the game, breaking down shortly before the forced evacuation of Hoth, and seeing to it that he and Leia were thrown together for the slow trip to Bespin. True, he had been falling in love with Leia since their first encounter in a Death Star cell block, but their private time in sublight cinched it for him. His own high opinion of himself wouldn't let him credit the Falcon for actually bringing them together, or for playing any real role in their courtship and eventual marriage. But he always thought that the ship deserved the equivalent of a Corellian blood stripe, not only for her actions during the rebellion, but for helping to steer him into Leia's life and heart.